Hi, and welcome to the Conservative Roots Podcast. Today is Wednesday, June 9th, 2021. I'm your host, Robert. Hope everybody's having a nice week so far. It's been a big week in the news, that's for sure. And there is absolutely a lot to talk about, most definitely. Let's get right into today's topic. I think I'm going to name this one Hope, Not Hopium. We as freedom-loving patriots seem to have divided ourselves into a couple of different camps. Two for sure, possibly three, depending on how you want to look at things. Just to keep my finger on the pulse of America, so to speak, I do spend a lot of time watching liberal media. I want to see what they're saying. I want to see what's in their heads, and which is never a good place. But I also poke around to different sites, different podcasts, chat rooms, things like that on our side too, on Telegram, on Parler, on all these different places, because I want to get a sense of where people are in terms of their mood, what they're thinking, how they're feeling, how they see this fight going, whether they've given up, whether they're getting inspired, all that kind of stuff. So in one camp, you have what I'd call the hopium crowd, who to me seem to be, I don't know, let's call it, they're at various levels of, not delusion, I think a lot of them are grasping at straws and they're starting to leave the realm of sanity in a couple of different ways. A lot of that I think has to do with the stress, okay? We're going through stressful times, scary times, and I think that has a lot to do with it. They can't believe that the world is as corrupt and as evil as it really is. So if they can believe in something a little bit outlandish, if it makes it easier for them to cope, I think that's what they're doing. They don't want to believe that this reality is reality. So they kind of wander into a new one, maybe stray a little bit. And that just helps them rationalize the world that they see around them right now. And it helps them cope. And I understand that, but it gets to be a little bit ridiculous sometimes. All right, so for example, there are these people out there who believe that all of the deep state people that we see in Washington have actually all been arrested in the past, right? They're all either executed or down in Gitmo or whatever. And they talk about all the people that we see. Well, not all the people, but, you know, key figures, the important people. It's the ones that we actually see walking around are actually actors in masks, holograms, CGI, clones. That's the best one for me, clones. I mean, come on. Now look, I have no doubt at all that sometimes politicians use body doubles. Okay, they always have. People have been doing that forever. I'm not convinced that the real Hillary Clinton was at the inauguration of Joe Biden, because when they did a photo of her and Bill together, okay, she always had the huge face mask on. She was clearly much shorter than she should have been. Now, you see 1,000 photos of Bill and Hillary Clinton together, and her head, you know, reaches a certain point on Bill, up above his shoulder, way into his head. This time, she was like 6 inches too small. So that kind of thing, when I see it, you know, raises a red flag. And, you know, using body doubles sometimes isn't out of the realm of possibilities. I get that. And I have no clue what that thing was that was standing next to the Lincoln Memorial at one time. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. If I can find the photo, maybe I'll put it up on my Telegram channel tonight. Biden, I think this was right after the election, or maybe after the inauguration. I can't remember which, but he was supposedly at the Lincoln Memorial. In any case, he was way in the background, and it looked like a cardboard cutout or a wax figure or something. I mean, it was creepy. Mouth hanging open, vacant stare, totally unmoving, and like these black eyes. It was creepy. I still don't know what that was. It did not look human at all. All the people around it looked normal. And then this thing looked like weird and creepy. I mean, we've seen irregularities and weird things. Until today, anytime Biden flew his plane, it wasn't designated as Air Force One. Today it was, for the first time in history. It was... You know, when he went to Europe today, all the other times that Biden got on a plane, it was listed as NA. Okay. Today, when he departed for Europe, it said Air Force One, AF1. Okay. Weird. We saw that weird video of him entering a press room and the top of his head disappeared a couple of times. It looked like they had filmed him walking in front of a green screen or something, and the video went weird. We saw the ones with his hands moving through the microphones, if you remember that clip. All weird stuff. I'm not denying that there have been very bizarre things happening the last few months, okay? But these people are really getting into the realm of hopium instead of looking to real signs of hope. They think Hillary Clinton was executed by a military tribunal ages ago, and we've been watching a body double or a clone for years. Bill Gates, half the actors in Hollywood. And as people are losing real hope, they've been straying farther and farther into this absurdity. They're talking about flat earth now, talking about clones, talking about all of this nonsense. Extreme stress, panic, a loss of hope is going to leave people grasping at straws. And again, even though I don't agree with 99% of what these people believe in, I will counter that there are some very, very odd things going on out there. I don't have an explanation for everything, okay? But even if I'm 100% positive that I don't know everything that could be happening behind the scenes and everything, I'm not going to sit here and listen to somebody tell me that Jim Carrey, the actor, is wearing a mask and playing Joe Biden for the Patriots every day. All right? Please, people, just find a little bit of sanity again. You don't have to go down this path, Now, on the other end of the spectrum, you've got people who have lost all hope whatsoever. They point to the fact that the election was 7 months ago, if you can believe that. And, Biden has been in office for over 4 months now. On June 20th, it's going to be 5 months. And 2024 is our only hope, if there's even that. They watch the mainstream news only, if they're watching any news at all. A lot of them have just checked out completely mentally. They're just done. They don't want to deal with it anymore. They don't want to get involved because to them, what's the point? What's the point in participating in a rigged system? What's the point of fighting for a country that no longer fights for you? They have no faith in politicians. They have no faith in the Republican Party. They have no faith that anything's going to happen. And their entire outlook is nothing but doom and gloom. So I guess I actually just answered myself. There is a third camp, and I guess that's the one where I'm sitting in right now. Now, while I do recognize that we have taken a lot of body shots here, our ship is taking in water, okay? We have not been hit on the chin. We aren't knocked out. And the boat is still floating. What we have to do is look past the doomsayers. We have to look past the people with the tinfoil hats on. We have to ignore the taunting from all the brainwashed liberals out there, they're out there cheering the fact still that Trump lost the election. And at the same time, they're crying about how much money it's going to take to fill up their tank. It's still too stupid to make the connection. We have to look past all of this background noise, all of these people on our side that have lost it and on the left that has lost it, all of these people have all of this has an agenda behind it. And we have to look to tangible, real things that are happening. Are there real victories for our side out there? Are we winning, or, are we at least landing some shots ourselves? In short, is there actual hope? And I will say, absolutely. That's what I want to talk about today. Actual physical things we can see and hear and believe in because it's happening right in front of our own eyes, not behind the scenes or according to some intel that some goof on the internet says he has, from some friend or source that he can't name and all that nonsense, okay? And I'm not saying that all of that is nonsense. What I'm saying is that don't take people's words for things on the internet. If it sounds too good to be true, it is too good to be true, or probably is. There's a lot of mental illness out there. There's a lot of people that like to get in front of a microphone or get in front of a camera and talk about things like this because they like the attention. And you probably know who I'm talking about. There's a bunch of them online who promise the world month after month, this is happening, that is happening, I've got a source, I've got intel. And has it happened? Has any of it happened? No. Now, that doesn't mean that it can't. But what I'm saying is that don't put all of your hope into that. Because if any of that is going to happen, you're not going to be participating in it anyway, right? That's, if any of that is happening, it's other people. We need to focus on what is happening in front of our eyes and things that we can participate in and what we can do ourselves, because there's a lot that we can do. So let's get started. No particular order. The first isn't the biggest. The last isn't the biggest. I'm just going to take it randomly as it comes to me. All right. Let's start with masks. I live in New Jersey, which, as you've guessed, we've got a Democrat governor, got a Democrat everything here. Name is Phil Murphy, communist idiot. All right. He's one of the several Democrat governors to follow Andrew Cuomo. He sent COVID positive patients into the nursing homes, just like Andrew Cuomo did. Not just COVID positive, but sick, you know, not asymptomatic people. He sent sick people into the nursing homes with the elderly. He's the one who, without any science at all to back him up, locked down our businesses almost longer than anybody in the country. We're one of the last ones to, you know, to reopen and get things sort of back to normal. You may also know Murphy if you don't live in New Jersey, which I'm sure most of you don't. He made national news. Do you remember that gym, Attilus Gym from Belmar, New Jersey? The guy that kept defying the lockdown orders and the police would come on Murphy's direct orders to shut the guy down. Guy was fined untold thousands of dollars. I think it was hundreds of thousands of dollars. It was great, actually, because the owner, Ian Smith, I think is his name, if I'm remembering him right, complete badass of a guy. He went all over the media and the talk shows. He was on, I think he was on Tucker. I know he was on Hannity. And just drug our fascist governor into the light and put it in a national spotlight on what was happening to all of our livelihoods. Well, even here in New Jersey now, especially since the Fauci news came out, more and more people walking around without masks, even inside businesses. Now, we had our mask mandates lifted for the vaccinated, I think, and at least that's the suggestion. Businesses are supposed to let people in who are vaccinated, and the people who are not vaccinated are still supposed to wear a mask, I think. I could be wrong on that, but I think that's where we're at right now. People were wearing them anyway. Didn't matter, okay? All of a sudden, especially since the Fauci stuff, I'm seeing the tide turn even here. Now, I'm not vaccinated. I'm not going to get the vaccine, but I walked into the grocery store the last couple of times, no mask, nobody asked me my status, and I'm done with it. I'm a grown man. I'm not wearing a placebo around my face any longer when I go into a store. If they want me to leave, I will gladly leave, and I will never return to that place in my life, ever. The plan was to keep COVID going for years. The plan was you were going to be wearing a mask for years. Remember Fauci on his 100th mask flip-flop at one point said that we'd be wearing masks well into 2022, maybe beyond. Instead, brave, ballsy Republican men like Greg Abbott and DeSantis down in the blazing sunshine of Florida basically said a collective get bent, and they opened up their states. They removed the mask mandates, let their citizens breathe the free air again, right? That whole agenda got stomped, even though depending on where you live, you're obviously going to see a lot of people still wearing masks and everything. The tide is turning. That's the point. It's going to be a personal decision for a lot of people when they decide to finally wake up, find their courage again, take the mask off and everything. And I'm not saying harass people, make fun of them, get in their face or anything like that. Everybody's going to come to this decision at their own speed. But the important takeaway is they will no longer be able to force masks on people. The plan to keep us muzzled and scared for years is done. Look at Texas. They had no masks for months, and they had a day of zero coronavirus deaths not long ago, like a couple weeks ago, right? Proving that the mask made no significant impact. I mean, it says it right on the box. I said this last podcast, right on the box. That it's not going to stop viruses like coronavirus. If the manufacturer of the mask tells me it's not going to work, why would I believe otherwise? So going forward, we're going to see less and less masks, more and more people out enjoying themselves all summer long, mask-free like normal people. It's a huge win compared to what they had planned for us. Second one, vaccine passports. Now, I know New York has a vaccine app where, you know, you can get perks, special prizes, free chocolate, whatever the hell they're doing in New York, whatever they're doing to entice them. But the idea was that this was, you know, the idea being tossed around that this was going to be national, you know, a federal vaccine passport. That's what was going to happen. And that is now dead in the water. Not happening. One of the reasons, again, is DeSantis stepping up almost immediately like he did, passing legislation against it in Florida and saying that they would fine companies doing business in Florida who tried to use one. And that spread. The cruise ship companies, I think, were the biggest one that he did, that he challenged, because obviously Florida is a hub for their business. They can't really survive without Florida. And they were going to do vaccine passports and they had to back down because of DeSantis. The national uproar against all of this caused states and finally the federal government to back down off the idea. Another huge win, because a vaccine passport was an extremely dangerous idea. This goes beyond show me your papers kind of stuff. If you've got a business telling you that you have to take an experimental vaccine, inject a completely unknown substance into your body to combat a disease with a 99.5% cure rate, or you cannot participate in commerce, where are we as a country? I mean, at that point, we might as well be the old Soviet Union or communist China, or quite frankly, worse. Let's jump away from the coronavirus a second. Let's talk about the Second Amendment, gun rights. People have been buying guns like crazy, right? Now, the firearm sales have been trending upward for probably over a decade, close to a decade. I know when Obama came into office, there was a spike. There's always a spike when a Democrat takes office, right? Under Trump, it kind of leveled off because nobody was really scared for their Second Amendment rights. But then in 2020, when the pandemic hit and the riots started, it just absolutely exploded. And a lot of those gun buyers were first-time owners. They were women, blacks, Hispanics, a lot of Democrats, all the exact people that the Democrat Party doesn't want to buy guns. They don't want them to exercise their Second Amendment rights and protect themselves, because what happens if you decide to be a gun owner, if you get scared into going out and buying a gun and everything, what do? You don't just go out and buy the gun. You wind up learning about your Second Amendment rights. You wind up talking to people. You talk to the guy at the gun store. You talk to other gun owners. You go to a range. You start learning. You start understanding that everything that the Democrat Party has been telling you about guns and gun ownership is a bunch of BS. And that's exactly what's happened. I'll take this from Forbes. The Federal Bureau of Investigation reported a total of 3.22 million background checks in May 2021, meaning that 2021 is on track to break last year's record for data partly based on gun purchases. Today, our clients are buying anything that is not nailed down, and if it is nailed down, some are bringing pry bars, said Clay Osley, who owns Fuque Gun and Gold in Fuque, Varina, North Carolina. That's an odd name. Couldn't have just been like, you know, Smithtown, Ohio or something like that. Fuque, Varina, North Carolina. It almost sounds made up. Anyway, we are selling whatever we can get in stock and pretty much as quickly as it comes in. It typically goes right back out. The FBI tally for May 2021 is down 8% from 3.51 million in the prior month of April 2021, but it's up 4% from 3.09 million in May of 2020. So while the momentum of background checks is slowing from its frenetic pace earlier this year, it's still well ahead of last year's record performance. And that's because of Joe Biden. Year to date, it has been our best year on record and surpassing 2020, which was a record breaker for my business and industry, said Osley. The FBI data implies that Americans are continuing to buy firearms and ammunition at unprecedented rates. The background checks are conducted primarily when people are buying or attempting to buy guns at a gun store. The continued record level of background checks for firearm sales demonstrates that Americans are voting with their wallets when it comes to firearm ownership and the Second Amendment rights, said Mark Oliva, Public Affairs Director for the National Shooting Sports Foundation, the gun industry group. Now, the vast majority of all the assaults on our gun rights have been dead in the water so far under Biden, and that is exactly why. Voting with our wallets. Democrat congressmen have seen their constituents, let's say, turning sharply pro-gun, sharply pro-Second Amendment, and they know that it's a very dangerous issue for them if they want to get reelected. It's poison. Biden talked about banning assault weapons, which is a completely made-up term. It's just ridiculous. Feinstein introduced her millionth bill to get rid of ARs. And yet, where are those bills? Where is this the swift legislation to ban these weapons? Did it make it through the House? Did it make it through the Senate? Is it anywhere right now? No, it's dead. In fact, probably the most monumental news of late is a federal judge reversing California's ban on the popular AR-15, saying it is not constitutional. Well, who would have thunk it? I'll take this from the Gateway Pundit. If you can believe it, a federal judge in California has overturned the state's onerous AR-15 and assault weapons ban. In a lawsuit presented by plaintiff James Miller, Judge Roger Benitez of California's Southern District, who was a George W. Bush appointee, ripped the state's law, referring to it as a failed experiment and stating, "State-level assault weapons bans that remain in effect have little to show." The 94-page ruling starts off like this. Like the Swiss Army knife, the popular AR-15 rifle is a perfect combination of home defense weapon and homeland defense equipment. Good for both home and battle, the AR-15 is the kind of versatile gun that lies at the intersection of the kind of firearms protected under District of Columbia versus Heller. Yet the state of California makes it a crime to have an AR-15 type rifle. Therefore, this court declares the California statutes to be unconstitutional. Further still, Judge Benitez ripped into the false narrative set by the media and Second Amendment prohibitionists. This case is not about extraordinary weapons lying at the outer limits of Second Amendment protection. The banned assault weapons are not bazookas, howitzers, or machine guns. Those arms are dangerous and solely useful for military purposes. Instead, the firearms deemed assault weapons are fairly ordinary, popular, modern rifles. This is in an average case about average guns used in average ways for average purposes. One is to be forgiven if one is persuaded by news media and others that the nation is awash with murderous AR-15 assault rifles. The facts, however, do not support this hyperbole, and facts matter. FBI murder statistics do not track assault rifles, but they do show that killing by knife attack is far more common than murder by any kind of rifle. In California, murder by knife occurs 7 times more often than murder by rifle. For example, according to FBI stats for 2019, California saw 252 people murdered with a knife, while 34 people were killed with some type of rifle, not necessarily an AR-15. A Californian is 3 times more likely to be murdered by an attacker's bare hands, fists, or feet than by his rifle. In 2018, the statistics were even more lopsided, as California saw only 24 murders by some type of rifle. The same pattern can be observed across the nation. Toward the ending of the ruling, Benitez concludes, "You might not know it, but this case is about what should be a muscular constitutional right and whether a state can force a gun policy choice that impinges on that right with a 30-year-old failed experiment. It should be an easy question and answer. Government is not free to impose its own new policy choices on American citizens where constitutional rights are concerned. As Heller explains, the Second Amendment takes certain policy choices and removes them beyond the realm of permissible state action. California may certainly conceive of a policy that a modern rifle is dangerous in the hands of a criminal, and that therefore it is good public policy to keep modern rifles out of the hands of every citizen. The Second Amendment stands as a shield from government imposition on that policy. There is only one policy enshrined in the Bill of Rights. Guns and ammunition in the hands of criminals, tyrants, and terrorists are dangerous. Guns in the hands of law-abiding, responsible citizens are better. To give full life to the core right of self-defense, every law-abiding, responsible individual citizen has a constitutionally protected right to keep and bear firearms, commonly owned and kept for lawful purposes." Now, this is absolutely huge. Right? For over 30 years, you had the largest state in the country living under an unconstitutional law. I mean, it's sad and ridiculous that it took this long to get here. And now that it is finally being overturned, look to places like my home state of New Jersey that has this same law in place. I can't go out and buy an AR. All right. It bans assault rifles too, quote unquote. All right. Similar lawsuits are going to be coming to the New Jersey, coming to New York, coming to all these places where you've got these Democrat restrictions on the Constitution. Public sentiment is now on our side, and this is a big, big win. And this is not just a win for ARs or AR ownership or anything like that. This is big because the AR and guns like it, absolutely the enemy of the Democrat Party when they think of gun ownership. The goal of the Democrat Party isn't to end or even slow down violence. That's a crock, okay? Look at how they let Antifa and BLM destroy their own cities. They let rapists and murderers and molesters come into the country completely unvetted. They're letting violent criminals out of prison by the tens of thousands, right? Many of whom are going to go and murder and rape somebody again. So stopping violence isn't a Democrat priority at all. Stopping you from being able to defend yourself against a tyrannous, all-powerful government is. That's the real reason they want the guns gone. It's not for your safety, it's for theirs. They can never fully implement their plan so long as you are armed. So all this talk about common sense regulation is a crock. They want full confiscation. That's the goal. And they've been thwarted in the biggest of ways right now. Gun sales and the AR-15, assault rifle ban reversal in California is a huge blow to their gun grab. And they know it. That is a huge win for us. How about court packing? Remember how we were panicked about that not long ago, right? With good reason. You had the President of the United States talking about it, setting up a committee to explore the idea, which you know what that means. They were going to do it, okay? The process of adding members to the court is actually not as difficult as it should be. And all they had to do was pass it through the House, pass it through the Senate, take it to the President's desk. He would have signed it, okay? If this went party lines only, they would win because you got Kamala Harris in the as president of the Senate. She would have been the deciding vote. Okay, they would have been able to stack the courts maybe with 13, maybe with 15. Arbitrary, it doesn't matter at that point. Now, they wound up introducing a bill for 13. And Biden would have seated like 4, 6, however many of the worst, most liberal, most corrupt judges you've ever seen in your life. And why are the Democrats, the really liberal ones, why are they so in favor of court packing? Why is this such a big thing for them? Because Democrats don't have an agenda that people want. They can't get what they want through votes. That's why they had to steal the election in the first place. But even if they had won the election fairly, their agenda is not that popular. It's not popular at all. When they come out and say what they want to do, when they actually tell Americans, this is what we want to do, America rejects it. All right, like we just talked about with gun rights. So what do the Democrats do? They do executive orders. They try to corrupt the courts to rule in their favor. All right, they panicked when Trump got to pick all of those new justices, and they have been plotting to reverse that as fast as they possibly could. And court packing was how they're going to do it. But a couple of interesting things have happened. Let's look first at this article from First Liberty to see what happened within the Democrat Party itself that killed court packing. Today, progressive Democrats are openly advocating court packing. President Biden himself is flirting with the idea through the creation of a presidential court packing commission. But as in 1937, the rest of America sees court packing for what it really is, a destructive plot to overthrow our nation's judiciary. Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat West Virginia, has come under intense pressure from the progressive wing of his party for adamantly refusing to vote to eliminate the filibuster, a radical proposal in and of itself, but one that Democrats would need in order to pass their court packing legislation. Manchin assured voters, "I will not be the 50th Democrat vote to end that filibuster or to basically stack the court." Joining Manchin in early opposition to court packing and ending the filibuster was Senator Kristen Sinema, Democrat of Arizona. But now that legislation to add 4 justices to the Supreme Court has officially been introduced, even more Democrats are coming out against the idea. In fact, shortly after the court packing bill was introduced in the U.S. House in mid-April, Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat of California, rejected the far left's push to swiftly vote on the court-packing legislation, stating, "I have no intention to bring it to the floor." Senator Catherine Cortez Masto, Democrat of Nevada, has stated that she opposes adding seats that politicize the court, and Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat of Virginia, has also stated he is not persuaded on court packing. Below are several more Democratic members of Congress who have recently expressed their opposition to expanding the size of the Supreme Court. The more responsible thing to do is to keep the U.S. Supreme Court at 9 justices. That's from Senator Mark Kelly from Arizona, Democrat. All these people are Democrats. "I don't think the American public is interested in having the Supreme Court expanded." That's from Senator Michael Bennett from Colorado. "This court-backing bill is in the category of things that couldn't muster 50 votes and probably couldn't muster 40 votes. We should focus on those issues where we can get a majority," said Senator Brian Schatz of Hawaii. He actually sounds like he's for it if he could, you know, if he thought he could get the win, but for right now, he's opposed. "I'm skeptical on court packing because I don't know where it stops. You could end up with a 100-person Supreme Court that changes every 4 years." And that's Senator Angus King, an independent from Maine. Court packing scheme is dead. Dead. And the Democrats themselves helped kill it. Now, why? Your uproar and opposition. Make no mistake, this is something that they counted on. AOC and the socialist wing of the Democrat Party were counting on this. Biden was counting on it. All the Hollywood celebrities were counting on it. Remember when all those idiots like Barbara Streisand who's the moron from the Vietnam woman? I can't remember her name right now. The actress. They were all for this, right? But cooler heads prevailed. The damage to this country, if that had been allowed to go through, this would have been catastrophic. But it is absolutely dead in the water. Now, here's another interesting take on this, too. I was thinking about this. I noticed something, I'm going to say odd recently, right? Usually, Elena Kagan and Sotomayor, the two Obama-appointed justices, they are always in the tank for the Democrat Party. Especially on big-time issues. I mean, they might go off the rails, some smaller cases, things like that. But when it comes to the big America-changing kind of stuff, they usually toe the line, like immigration, healthcare, that sort of thing. Well, I've noticed some 9-0 rulings lately. One was related to guns. I'm going to take this from Reuters. The U.S. Supreme Court on Monday refused to make it easier for police to enter a home without a warrant for reasons of health or public safety, throwing out a lower court's decision to dismiss a lawsuit brought by a Rhode Island man after officers entered his home and confiscated his guns. The 9-0 ruling directed the Boston-based First U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals to reconsider Edward Canelia's lawsuit, accusing police of violating his constitutional rights by bringing him to a hospital for a mental health evaluation and taking away his guns without a warrant after a 2015 argument with his wife. This basically ruled against these, you know, these wellness laws that the Democrats want to, they want to make it possible for people to just basically say that you're not well mentally, and then the cops can just come in and take away your guns, right? Without a warrant, without just cause. Before you've committed a crime, everything. Now, this was another darling policy of the Democrats, and there was a unanimous decision in favor of the Constitution. Now, for me, I would have thought that Kagan and Sotomayor would have dissented. Another recent one, even larger one in importance when it comes to defying the Democrat Party, is the recent 9-0 ruling against granting all asylum seekers the right to appeal for a green card. I'm going to take this from the Gateway Pundit. The Supreme Court has unanimously ruled against allowing illegal aliens that have temporarily protected status to apply for permanent residency. The court determined that federal immigration law prohibits TPS recipients from seeking green cards if they entered the country illegally. This applies to over 400,000 people on this TPS program. Now, there were a couple of other minor cases that went 9-0 also. Now, here's something else to consider. All right, this is what I'm thinking. It's not a huge secret that the current members of the Supreme Court, they aren't exactly thrilled with the idea of court packing either, right? They've listened to Democrats go out publicly and, you know, get on the media, AOC, all these people, and say that stacking the courts is going to be a way to combat Trump and combat the Republican agenda. So they've been openly politicizing and weaponizing the court. It seems to me that what could also be happening here with these 9-0 decisions is the liberal justices are sending a message to the Democrat Party. Don't think by adding justices that you're going to get a rubber stamp on your agenda. That's not how this works. On cases where the Democrats were sure that the liberal justices were going to side with them, they didn't. And this could be the message from the court itself saying, we don't want the courts expanded, and if you do it, we're going to shoot you down anyway. We'll vote against you. Could be a warning shot, you know? Interesting idea anyway, and whatever the case may be, court packing is also dead. That is a huge win for us. I'm not going to spend time on this next one, but DC statehood. Dems wanted to add another state, Washington, D.C., even though it's expressed in the Constitution that that's not supposed to happen. They wanted to do it, of course. Why? So they could pick up two new liberal senators and stack the court, you know, the Senate in their favor in perpetuity. Killed, not happening, not going to get into it even further. Let's move on to the bigger stuff now. Let's go back to the pandemic and let's talk about Dr. Doom himself, Fauci. Fauci was made into a god by the left, like they always do. They always look for somebody to put into an authority position to tell them what to do, to tell them what to think, to tell them what rules they need to follow, right? They're like little children, and they idolize these people. We had an unknown virus, something completely new, and the left manipulated the media. They manipulated everybody's minds into thinking that there was only one man in this entire world that you could listen to. One man had all the answers. Only his opinion mattered. Only what he said mattered. Fauci was who we had to listen to. Think about that. New virus. It's being studied by doctors all over the world, in every country of the world. When any doctor or any scientist who wasn't agreeing with exactly what Fauci thought, when they came out and stated their opinion, if it contradicted Fauci in any way, they were shut down. You had doctors and researchers losing their YouTube channels, losing their Facebook page because they contradicted Dr. Fauci. What made Fauci any more intelligent or special than any other doctor? Well, obviously nothing. Our side has been calling him out for being a fraud forever, and now his emails have all been leaked out, and we got our vindication. Now, I'm not going to go into the details of every single Fauci email that's making the news. I'm sure most of you have seen the story, seen the news on TV. You have a very good idea of what's going on, but I'm going to go over some of the headlines and some of the finer points, just to reiterate it. My last podcast, I played you the audio of Fauci. I think it was after Trump won, but before he assumed office. So it was somewhere between November and late January, talking about how he was definitely, meaning Trump was definitely going to face a, quote, surprise outbreak. Think of the balls of that statement. I mean, you could say something like, hey, you know, over the next decade, there's a probable chance that, you know, the world is going to face some kind of an outbreak of blah, 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 and we'll deal with it, but, you know, whatever. But to make that kind of a statement to me, saying that Trump himself is soon definitely going to face a surprise outbreak, that shows he's complicit. He knew. Why did he know? Well, his NIH was funding the very lab where the virus was being researched, including gain-of-function research. Now, what is gain-of-function? What that means is you start with a virus or some kind of pathogen and you alter it in a way that increases its pathogenesis, its danger, how easily it's transmissible to another organism, how it attaches to a host, all those kinds of things. So this clown was involved in the very lab, the very research that led to this illness, and he kept that hidden. He knew this didn't come from bat soup. He knew it was modified in a lab, and he knew what lab because he was involved. Now, I'm proud of the fact that since I started this podcast, I've been saying all of this, every last bit of it, and now I get some vindication too. I mean, my podcast was kicked off Spotify for saying this. And now look, right? Truth comes out eventually. It's not going to get me back on Spotify, but you get it. How about the masks and Fauci, right? He started off telling us that masks don't really work. Maybe just for huge particulates. Now, I don't want to be gross, but he's basically talking about, you know, the stuff flying out of your nose when you sneeze or phlegm when you cough, right? Catching giant particulates like that. Virus particles? No, no chance. The mesh in the weave and the fabric, way too large. Not going to stop a virus. He knew that. But he reversed course and not only started suggesting wearing masks, but he wound up putting this entire country on mask mandates for no friggin' reason. Look at how many people have been scared out of their minds over this. Look at how many fights have occurred between people who are terrified of anybody not wearing a mask, people who chose not to wear one. You see these fights going on in grocery stores and stuff like that. You saw those Trader Joe's employees calling the cops and wrestling somebody out of the store, right? He goes from no mask to masks for the sick, to masks for everybody, to two masks, then back to one. I mean, this guy is a complete and utter fraud. You want a mask that actually protects from a virus, it has to be made specifically for that purpose. Now, the worst thing that this bastard did, along with every single Democrat politician alive, is go against Trump's suggestion to use hydroxychloroquine and zinc together with the Z-Pack or, you know, some other medication like that. Sorry for stuttering. That Jewish doctor in New York, I can't remember his name right now. I always remember this guy's name, and I thought I would, but I don't now. He was the first one who was a proponent of it. And right when coronavirus got going, he was the one that contacted Trump and said, hey, I'm up here in New York, north of New York City, and I've been treating people with hydroxychloroquine and a combination of zinc, and I've had massive results, and I think you ought to promote it. And Trump looked into it, and then he did, right? The media, the Democrat Party, Fauci, that idiot governor of New York, Cuomo, everybody got on the TV and was just destroying Trump over this. They were taking away the licenses of doctors who prescribed it, pharmacies too. This is a drug that's been in use for 60 years or more. Our military takes it like candy when they go overseas to areas with malaria, right? And yet they lied about it. They lied about its effectiveness and its use against COVID. Because they needed the pandemic to kill as many people as possible so that they could bring in mail-in ballots, cheat the election, and get rid of Trump. The emails prove Fauci knew it was effective, and he helped squash the news. How many people died because of Fauci and the Democrat Party? Right? Millions worldwide. Now, we can debate the numbers, you know, the accuracy of those numbers and how many people actually died from COVID only and how many people had regular pneumonia and regular flu. I'm not going to get into that now. We've already been over that on different podcasts. The numbers aren't right, but we're talking a lot of people. A lot of people did die because they got this who otherwise would not have died. I mean, you could say, yeah, somebody that was 400 pounds with diabetes and heart failure got coronavirus and died. And you can say, well, he had all these other problems. Yeah, but maybe that guy would be alive for the next 5 years if he didn't get coronavirus, okay? At some point, a lot of people's lives were taken prematurely. I'm going to take this from the Gateway Pundit. You would think that researchers would have concentrated on prophylactic and therapeutic solutions of this disease, especially since this disease is a death sentence for the elderly, the obese, those with pre-existing conditions. The coronavirus doctors have forced children to avoid school, mask up, and get vaccinated. One would think that for all this time, there would be a consensus in the hospitals, in the nursing homes, and in other treatment centers on how to treat a COVID-positive patient or resident. This is not the case. Cardiologist and professor of medicine Peter McCullough testified in Texas earlier this year. Dr. McCullough sees COVID patients and says 85% of COVID patients given multi-drug treatment plan recover from the disease with complete immunity. McCullough added, the pandemic could have been over by now, he says, if those who tested positive for COVID had been immediately treated before they fell ill enough to be hospitalized. He also said that thousands could have been and still could be saved if the treatment protocol he and other physicians use were not suppressed. Dr. Fauci and the CDC and the WHO suppressed this effective treatment plan and others. And it's not just this study that, you know, it's all over the net now. This is a tweet from Breakthrough 911. Just in, new study finds that the use of weight-adjusted hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin improves survival of ventilated COVID-19 patients by nearly 200%. All right? Trump was right again. The Fauci worship is over. This guy and the Democrat Party are mass murderers. Your business didn't need to be destroyed. You didn't need to lose your business. Your kids could have been in school. People didn't need to be terrified. Relationships didn't need to be destroyed. Marriages destroyed over money issues and stress. And most of the people who died could have been saved. But hey, the Democrats needed to steal an election, so whatever, right? The good news is it's out and people know, and the people that don't know are finding out. Even in New York City, Fauci and Bricks, whatever her name is, they show up to give some stupid speech and they're booed and protested as the car went by, right? If Fauci is protested and booed in New York City, the most liberal of liberal strongholds, you know that it's over for him. Now, speaking of stealing the election, what other bit of good news do we have? I'm going to keep this short because I've been talking about it the last several podcasts, but the Maricopa County audit is coming to a close on June 14th. That's Trump's birthday, and it's Flag Day. We have gotten signals from people involved in the audit directly, from politicians close to them and Trump himself, that the results are going to be staggering and hard to believe. Now, the best news about the audits, maybe, is that with Arizona leading the way, other states are visiting the Maricopa County audit to see how it's done so that they can join in and do it in their state too. Here's an update from Arizona Rep. Mark Fincham. I don't know which one it is. Update from Arizona. The states that have visited so far are Pennsylvania, Virginia, Georgia, Alaska, Colorado. More individuals from Georgia will be in tomorrow and other states later in the week. Until those states have visited, we do not want to release their state names to prevent harassment. After spending a portion of time with these legislators, the unanimous sentiment that the trip and time spent was well worth it. Election integrity is a priority in every community across America. Many state delegates have shown interest in the audit to ensure a future with fraud-free elections as the focus. And I am very pleased that Arizona is leading the way. All states need to come here because insecure elections are indeed a national security threat worth fixing. I can now confirm that Nevada also came to visit the Arizona audit. This is from the Gateway Pundit. States are expected to continue flooding into Arizona for a tour of the monumental Arizona audit every day of this week. Delegations need to start booking reservations for next week because this audit is coming to its end very soon. This audit will end, but it appears that Doug Mastriano is pulling a victory for the voters of Pennsylvania, as he told Jenna Ellis on Real America's Voice that an Arizona-style audit in Pennsylvania could be ready to go by July. Now, who knows how long it's going to take for all this to come out, every audit completed in all these states, but here's the thing. I still don't know how this can end, right? I don't know how it's going to end. Like I said at the beginning, there are people out there who think that the military is ready to swoop in tomorrow, that this is all going to get resolved. I've said before, I don't know how this election fraud is going to get reconciled. I don't. But consider this. If it all comes out that the election was stolen and high treason committed, what is the absolute worst case scenario for our side? Suppose the courts, the military, the Justice Department, all these people that we're supposed to count on, but we're not sure we can. Suppose everybody lets us down, nobody takes action, even after all of this evidence comes out, right? What's the worst case? Well, if the entire world knows that Biden and the Democrats cheated and he's an illegitimate president and his entire cabinet is illegitimate, are any Republicans going to vote for any of their agenda? No. Will all the Democrats continue to vote for his agenda? No. Not the ones that want a political future. Not the ones that don't want their constituents rioting in the streets. Right? How about foreign countries? Are they going to recognize him or work with him? Probably not. When all of the election fraud is over and done with and exposed, best case scenario, we get a change in government. Right? Worst case scenario, he's done anyway. His presidency is done. The Democrat agenda is done. The Democrat Party is done. Everything grinds to a halt. We ride it out until the new elections, where all of these states are going to be putting in election reform laws. There's not going to be the cheating that we saw in 2020. That's the worst case scenario. I mean, this election was rigged top to bottom. It's all going to blow wide open as all of these states do an audit. I mean, look at this. What is this here? Look at Michigan, all right? Look at this from attorney Matt DiPerno. All right, he released this today about the Antrim County suit he has going on. He wrote this. Number one, we have been lied to. The Antrim County Election Management System, EMS, was remotely and successfully logged into anonymously on 11-5-2020 at 5:55 p.m. and again on 11-17-2020 at 5:16 p.m. Yes, that is correct. Remotely. Number two, those dates are significant because they correspond directly to the dates the county and Secretary of State were trying to correct the intentional computer problems that subverted the election. These logons appear to have escalated privileges at the time of logon. But number three, but we were told there was no internet connection. In an accredited system, an anonymous user should not be authorized by the accreditation authority, but would instead be required to enter a specific username and password to utilize the system. Four, we were told there was no internet connection. We were told there was no remote access. We were told this was a human error. All lies. This is fraud. This decertifies the Antrim County election. Secretary of State Benson should resign or be impeached. That is absolutely earth-shattering news, right? All right, I have to start winding this down. I'm running out of time. We don't need to cling to fantasy. If all this stuff that people are saying happens, great. All right, yay, hooray, fantastic. Go get them. I'd be happy to wrap this up tomorrow. Watch people be escorted off to jail. Find out that people are dead already, whatever. That should have happened long ago. But there are a ton of wins for our side. Wins with the mass. Fauci's proven to be a fraud. The origins of the coronavirus, the biggest scam on the world, proven to be a man-made bioweapon. With Fauci in on the funding, the biggest crime in American history, the theft of an American presidency, all coming out into the light. And in the meantime, their agenda of gun control, of court packing, mandates, all of it's being stopped. I'll go back to something I've said repeatedly since the election. We would be in real trouble, if the election results were actually the way that they're reported. If 81 million people actually voted for Biden, we would be in real trouble. If that had happened, and if America was on board with that agenda, all would be lost. But that isn't reality. Reality is you won. Reality is American ideals were not abandoned. Trump won in a landslide, in an absolute landslide. That will be proven soon. But the more important thing is the hearts and minds of this country are with us. They are with you. They are with Trump. They're with the American values. And that is why Biden's agenda is collapsing and his presidency is already an absolute failure. Take heart that the vast majority of Americans rejected Biden and the left. Take heart in that. And now let's all work hard to prove it. Let's spread the word, prove it to the world, and take back our country permanently, once and for all from these scum-sucking criminals. All right, that's it for today. If you enjoyed the podcast, please hit the subscribe button. If you know people who would enjoy this show, please pass it along to them. You can find me on Telegram now at Conservative Roots Podcast, and I'm going to be updating, I think either tonight or tomorrow, I'm going to be putting up some new shirts onto conservativeroots.net. Have a great night, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon. Take care.